You know, I'm all about this first reading today. Love it. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered and set me on my feet, said Ezekiel. And I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day, said the Lord. Hard of face they are, obstinate of heart they are. But you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. Perhaps the Lord is describing your Thanksgiving. Your 4th of July, perhaps. I am sending you to a hard, obstinate people. Aunt Petunia. A prophet is not without honor except in his native place. When I first went to the seminary, I came home for my first break. I was 19, and I had become the perfect Catholic. And I thought, well, I'll teach my mother a thing or two, teach my brother a thing or two, I'll teach my family how to be Catholic. What do you mean you're not going to daily mass? Now, I know I didn't do it for the first 18 years of my life, but what do you mean you're not going? What do you mean you're not going to pray the rosary with me? What do you mean you don't want to pray the breviary on the way to Chili's? Oh, you don't even know what the breviary is, huh? Well, I remember encountering a lot of surprise and misunderstanding from my friends. You're not cool anymore, they would say. Yeah, I might not be cool, but I'm Catholic. Not real convincing. They said, you're a different person. My favorite was, what happened to you? You don't swear anymore. Now, I have since regained that quality. A prophet is not without honor except in his native place. And that rule is just something that young priests and seminarians, we have to learn. None of you care that I know that there are 2,865 paragraphs in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Unless you know first that I love you, that you are my people, that I am happy to be a priest, and I'm happy to be your priest. People in Oswego, where I grew up, used to say, isn't he the jerk who beat out my son for the lead role in the show? Yeah, maybe, but what a show it was. Isn't he the one who yelled at me when he was the drum major of marching band? Isn't he the one who did that crazy skit so that he could win Mr. Oswego 2009 and ride in the car in the homecoming parade? Yeah. But the people closest to us, okay, our own families and friends, they know us better than anybody. And they know because very often they have been the target or a participant in our less than holy behavior. They have been the target of our anger, of our selfishness, of our pride, of our sloth. They know that we're not holier than thou, as perhaps we pretend to be. And they look at me and they look at you and they say, I know all of this about them, and now he's trying to be holy? And the honest answer to that question is, yeah, I'm trying to be holy. When those we love react negatively to our faith, to our pursuit of virtue, of truth and goodness and beauty, it can be a very discouraging thing, huh? There's the temptation to hide our faith then, to not go to Mass when we go visit our children. We stop talking about Jesus. We try to hide it. because those around us, maybe our kids say that we took them too much to church when they were young. Take me to jail. Or they haven't developed the same love for the Lord that we have. And there's nothing worse than having someone very close to us living a life that's completely contrary to our own. To have the most special people in our lives, to have them hate what we love. It can be very a difficult thing. And it's situations like these that give life to another thing that Jesus said when he calls his disciples to give up mothers and brothers and sisters and lands for his sake. He says that it will be mother against daughter and father against son. We can't force those we love to believe and to see what we see in a life with Christ, just as nobody forced us to see it. We had to come see it on our own. We had to experience it on our own. But that doesn't mean that we have to feel guilty about living our own life. We should never be ashamed of moving forward in our relationship with Christ, even if it means that certain people in certain areas of our life have to be in certain ways left behind. At a certain point, you have to start saying who you are and who you belong to. You have to start saying who you are and who you belong to. The things that Jesus is coming into our lives to do are incredible, beyond anything, of course, that we could imagine. Not just in heaven, but here in Joliet. His resurrection, his conquering of sin and death, it means that everything can change, that nothing is static, that nothing is irredeemable anymore. But it can be overwhelming. The Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. And if you're not finding the companionship that you need from the people in your daily life, that doesn't mean they don't exist. But it does mean that perhaps it's time, for the sake of the vitality of your own Christian life, to look elsewhere for that companionship, for that spiritual friendship that you're craving. We see so many beautiful things. We see so many beautiful things happening to us, and we need someone to be there walking with us, to whom we can turn and say, "Can you remind me what I saw?" Lest we forget. Lest in the dark we forget the light, and lest in the light we forget the dark. So I would like to offer you something helpful that I received this week in an email newsletter from a movement in the church that I belong to. So I didn't come up with these. I'll just say that right off the top. But I do find them to be very helpful as guideposts in my own journey through life and as I begin my ministry as a priest. My hope is that they will serve as reinforcements for those of you already on the way, and that they may provide a starting place for those looking to make a deeper plunge into living a true life with Christ, being his true and living witness. Number one, take a risk. Follow a proposal, whether from prayer or for some ministry offer in the bulletin. You know, last week, Father Bill did say the rectory is looking for a cook. Move forward, though, on something that you feel the Spirit is moving you to. Gosh, I've always wanted to make a meal for daybreak. Gosh, I always wanted to go to confession on a Saturday. Gosh, I've always wanted to go minister to the poor or visit the nursing home or join the Bible study. But what if people say this? But what if people... Shut up. Do it. Take a risk. Move on a proposal. Number two. Work, but do something with others, not to others. Christian work takes many forms besides organizing committees and serving the poor. Christian work also looks like doing what needs to be done, cleaning the bathroom, cooking the meal, saying hello, opening the door. But it means doing things that need to be done, adding and subtracting the things in your life that will pave the way through the narrow gate for you. What is going on in your life that's keeping you from Christ? What is going on in your life that's keeping you chained to sin? Get rid of it. Number three, dialogue. Christian friendship, companionship. Look around this place and see the faces of your brothers and sisters. Like-minded individuals, this community that the Lord has provided for each and every one of you, these people are at your disposal. A companion allows you to face what you don't want to face. And number four, friendship. The desire for a continuation of a relationship. It's to say, I love being with you. I want to love you as you are. And I want to be known by you as I am. I want to walk this way with you. Being with others who love and understand us, it generates a friendship, a desire for more, the continuation of more. That's why when you go on a retreat or something, or you have a really great Bible study session, or you feel the Spirit really moving you, maybe in the parish council meeting, although the Spirit has probably never moved in his parish council meeting. Just kidding. But wherever you have found the encouragement of the Spirit, you love it, right? And you want more of it. And then sometimes you go home where your bratty teenage son is like, whatever, Mom, you were at your church thing, but I need you to make my taquitos. And suddenly that high is gone and you feel like, is any of this real? Is any of this possible? Is any of this really sustainable? But we need those people that we can call on the phone and say, Ricky wanted me to make his taquitos again. Can you remind me what I saw in the meeting tonight? Can you remind me of the feeling that we share together during our spiritual conversation at Panera Bread? Can you help me? Can you walk with me? Because I'm not finding it in my house, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. All right, so we have to avoid the rigidity that divides. We have to avoid the formalism that says, Christ does not live unless I and those around me sit and stand and kneel and do this and that perfectly and consistently. That's called formalism. It's very unhealthy. And it doesn't make our life as Christian people attractive. So we must embrace the fact that Jesus lives. Can we at least agree on that this evening? Jesus lives, true or false? I'm going to be at Sacred Heart on the East Side tomorrow, and they're going to blow you out of the water when I ask that question. So Jesus lives, true or false? Jesus is alive. And the fact that he lives does not mean that it's not going to take a lot of effort on our part to live with him. Even if it means that we're not going to be accepted in our native place. Because Jesus never said, well, my family and friends ridicule me, so I should probably just end my mission. Even though he perceived their lack of faith, he continued on his mission because he was convinced of its import. He was convinced that he was doing the Father's will. So I pray that the Eucharist today that we receive from this altar, that it might be our strength that we need to persevere in our faith, despite the challenges that come from those closest to us. May we be convinced of the sweetness of God's plan for us. Son of man, I am sending you to the Jolietites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart are they to whom I send you. But you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. And whether they heed or resist, they shall know that a prophet has been among them.